So, you know, one of the big questions, of course, as we go into life, as we deal with life, is what is a meaningful life? How do we have a meaningful life? What is it? What does a meaningful life even kind of look like? And that's what we've been kind of looking at in the series that we're in. Right? Our series has been, you know, what if self-help isn't the best help? Because as we've talked about, there's this kind of temptation, this kind of sense that the way that we have a life that matters is kind of being loud about me. But as we've talked about, if you've ever known someone who's loud about me, who's all about me, that me is generally not a lot of fun to be around. That meaningful lives are lives that are not all self-focused. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves, right? That does not mean that we exhaust ourselves, right? We have to take care of ourselves. We have to have a life in balance. But a life in balance is about more than just self-help, right? A life in balance involves reaching out to other people, to impacting other lives, that our own lives somehow become fuller and more meaningful if we're willing to invest in the lives of other people. And the way we've been talking about this the past few weeks is this idea towards moving towards a more meaningful life is kind of like a journey, right? You've got a destination. There's something out there that you want to make a difference in. There's something out there that just moves on your heart more deeply than other things do. And so that's kind of your destination, kind of trying to make a difference in that space. But you have a starting point where you are now. And what are the steps you can take to get there? So we're kind of walking through that journey throughout this series. Now, if you have ever taken a long journey, a long drive, a multi-legged flight somewhere, I once flew back from Australia in a middle seat sort of thing, right? Yeah, it's as bad as it sounds, And I actually was much heavier than I am now, so it was a really tight middle seat for me, actually. And so there's kind of this interesting thing about any long journey that you're on. There's kind of two good points. Kind of the best moment of any journey is generally the end. You've made it, you're there. But probably the second best moment is just before it starts. You got everything lined up, you're excited, the pieces are all kind of just all there, so you can just kind of start the journey. The challenge is what? That thing in the middle. Right? Because in any journey, there are bumps and there are challenges. And something that you'll be very experienced with living here in New Hampshire, by the end of winter, what is the road filled with? Potholes. Well, that's what I want to talk about today. What about the potholes? Because if you're going to do something that makes a difference, if you're going to do something that leads to change and transformation, no matter how good that journey that you are on is, not everyone is going to support you. Not everyone's going to be on your side. Not everyone is going to be on board with everything that you want to do. You are going to experience opposition. And if we're not realistic about that, we're not going to make it very far. So what I wanted to talk about this morning is, well, what do you do in that situation? How do you do this? If you're on this journey of actually trying to bring change into some space, whatever it is for you, whether it's helping people who have limited access to food get food, dealing with children who maybe need help in school but aren't getting the support that they need, whatever it is for you, whatever that might be, people who are lonely and just making sure that they're being visited, whatever those things are, as good as what you're doing is, somebody's going to have something to say about it, on cue, as a matter of fact. Right? So the way we've been going through this journey, right, is the fact that we've been looking at the life of this guy named Nehemiah. Right? Now, Nehemiah wanted to make a difference. Now, remember that Nehemiah lived about 2,500 years ago. He lived in the ancient world. A world so different from ours, it's actually hard to imagine, right? A world anchored in violence, short lives, a very small group of people were very powerful, and everyone else had to figure out how to survive in it. That's the world that Nehemiah lived in. And Nehemiah was aware of what was happening in his home city, Remember that his family was from Jerusalem. I'm sorry, Jerusalem. His family was from Jerusalem, although he had never been there. But he still cared about those people. And he discovered that the perimeter around that city had been destroyed, and those people weren't safe because of the nature of the ancient world. And he felt called by God to make a difference about it. So he wanted to go rebuild that perimeter to help people be safer. He also discovered that there was no real kind of leadership in place as well. So he ultimately even gets appointed by the king as governor. So he actually has the authority to start to address things, as well as the desire and ability to start addressing things. And remember that when this journey started for him, this was a long shot. I mean, he was a servant to the king. He didn't have power. He didn't have resources. He didn't have influence. He technically didn't even have the right to travel, and he lived 1,000 miles from the city. But when we finished up last week, miraculously, all those things were resolved. He asked the king for some help. The king agreed to help him. The king gave him the right to travel, makes him governor of the city, because kings can do that. Right? Gave him access to resources. And when we left him last week, he was just getting ready to head out on the journey. We left him at the best moment in the journey because he hadn't started the work yet. It was all lined up. But then it was time to do something. So as he gets here to the city, he's now in the city of Jerusalem as we pick up this week. And he wants to be here to impact as many lives as he can. And remember, he didn't even know these people, but he cared about them. And the thing that we always want to remember, that his motivation was never about building some great big wall with his name on it. His motivation was always about caring for the people inside of it. He was putting a perimeter in place to care for the people inside the city. That was his motivation. So it seems that he might be, well, let's go in and just announce, hey, I'm here to save you. I'm going to fix it all. How would that have possibly gone? They probably all heard it before. So he's very intelligent about how he approaches things. When he gets to the city and he wants to do the work, he's got a really big challenge. He's never been to this city. How is he going to fix the city? So he needs to figure out what the situation is. He needs to look around and understand what's going on. So he needs to kind of inspect the perimeter of the city. And he actually tells us how he does this. He actually describes for us the way he goes about inspecting the perimeter of the city. He says, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. So why is he being so secretive? He's not just kind of keeping his profile down. He's actually being kind of secretive. Well, he knows that not everyone is going to be excited about what he's doing. So he makes the decision to, you know, talk to some people that he trusts. He's not going to try and do it alone. So he finds some people that he trusts. We don't really know how he finds those people, but he finds people that he trusts. And he kind of flies low for a little bit. He actually takes the time to kind of get the lay of the land, to understand what's actually happening here. What's the situation really like? I mean, I've heard what the situation's like, but what's the situation really like? And he takes that time to find that out. And he talks with people who are already here who know. So he doesn't try to figure it out all by himself, that there are people here who know, who have lived with this for years. So he spends time with them to understand what's going on. So what Nehemiah is really doing here, and this is something really important for us, when we're doing something that we're really passionate about and really excited about, we could be really tempted to just run in, you know, hair on fire, I'm going to fix it all. And that rarely works. Right? Because there are a number of things that go into that. First of all, when you're new someplace, you probably don't understand things as well as you think you do. So you take time to talk to people who've been around for a while. You also want to move slowly so that you can kind of get to know people, right, and figure out what's really happening there. And also, you do have to recognize that if you're trying to make any kind of change of any significance in any place, not everyone's going to be happy about it. And so you're going to start to encounter opposition. And the faster that you try to run into things, the faster you will encounter opposition. And you may not be ready for that yet. Because one of the things that we have to understand is that when we're doing something that's complex and involved, the journey of walking it out is a very long one. And you probably won't have a complete vision of everything that goes on. You can paint a big picture vision. That's kind of what we talked about early on. But you need time to figure the pieces out as you go. So you take your time and you do that. And you don't rush to run into opposition. Right? So you kind of work the whole process collectively, working with people, moving forward, getting to know them, getting to know the situation, and recognizing what are the most important things that have to be done. And this is what Nehemiah was doing, getting all those things lined up. Because he knew the second he started the work, actually visibly making changes, there were going to be people who didn't like it. Because remember that the nation that he's gone back to, the nation of what's called Judah in the Bible, it's generally more Israel, right? And he's in that city of Jerusalem. When this nation was conquered, people from other areas had been moved in. So everyone wasn't really favorable towards the people living inside the city. And because the city was in such disrepair and it had been run kind of in not the ideal fashion, there were a lot of people who kind of made a living out of exploiting those difficulties. The ability to move in and out of the city very easily, the ability to kind of undercut and undermine the sort of things that a well-run city might have. And if Nehemiah starts addressing those things, that's going to change things for those folks, and they're not happy about it. And so as soon as Nehemiah begins the work, the opposition starts to move in. Because as soon as he starts making any changes at all, people start seeing him as trying to take their power, even though that's not his intent. People start seeing him to do that. And so Nehemiah tells us what happens, because there's this one guy, if you read the story of Nehemiah, there's this one guy who just kind of keeps coming up, who kind of keeps messing with Nehemiah. His name is Sanballat. And Sanballat absolutely does not like Nehemiah. He does not like what Nehemiah is doing. And this is what Nehemiah tells us about Sanballat. He says, Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're going to do? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap, a charred one at that? So what's he saying? Who are you to think you can do anything meaningful? Who are you to think that just because you feel called to do something meaningful, that you're going to succeed somehow? And that's what you're working with? That's what you have? How could that possibly turn into anything good? And he did this kind of day and night, and he encouraged others to do it as well. Now, the thing that stands out to me when I read this narrative is that Sanballat's spending a lot of time and energy harassing Nehemiah. Now, if we listen to his words make it sound like he's got like no chance of success, that Nehemiah has no chance of succeeding. That's what Sanballat's words sound like. But if that's what Sanballat actually believes, why is he spending so much energy giving Nehemiah a hard time? I mean, we could say it was fun, but you know, let's assume it's not just that. What I read, or what I hear when I read it, is Sanballat's concerned. The reason Sanballat is spending so much time and energy harassing Nehemiah is because he's afraid Nehemiah is actually going to succeed. If he actually believed that Nehemiah was going to fail, the smartest thing to do would be to just sit back and let him fail. The fact that Sanballat is taking the time and energy to engage with Nehemiah shows that he thinks this might actually work. And the thing that I want us to hear when we think about a situation like this, as you step out, as you do something, to do something big and people rise up to give you a hard time about it, to tell you you can't do it, this problem is too big, why do you think you can fix it? The thing I want you to hear is that the reason they're doing that is because they believe you might actually be able to. And it may be they oppose what you're doing. Maybe they're just jealous because they didn't do it. You don't know. But the thing that I want to encourage you with is that as you step out to do that thing that God calls you to do, and people are hurling insults and doubts at you, basically ignore the words, don't let them get to you, but remember, they must believe in you. Because if they didn't believe in you, they wouldn't bother. So believe in yourself. Long journeys are hard. Long journeys are tiring. And the fact that someone is harassing you along the way means that they're concerned that you might actually do something that they couldn't do. So hold on to that as you do it. Now, as time went on, kind of the harassment did kind of continue. But Nehemiah seems to do a pretty good job of kind of keeping his people on task, keeping the work going. And they actually start making pretty good progress. And they start getting the perimeter repaired kind of faster than anyone thought that they could. And so as they make that really strong progress, Nehemiah has kept them on task. All the people working on task. Feels like things are going well. But then he begins to experience something he didn't expect. Because I think he probably planned on the external attacks. But then as the work continues, the people that he's working with start grumbling. The people that live inside the city, the people who actually benefit from the work, start grumbling. The people who are actually participating in the work start grumbling. And this is what Nehemiah tells us. He says, "Then the people of Judah began to complain. They said, 'The workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves.'" And remember, these are the ones who are participating in the work, who will benefit from the work. And they're starting to grumble. Now, what's going on? Well, first of all, reality is the journey is hard. The work is hard. The things that they are doing are challenging. Rebuilding a wall that has actually been down for decades, I've never done it, but I'm assuming it's pretty hard. Right? It's around an entire city, so there's a lot of work there. The other thing is that the people are getting tired because they've been working long hours because Nehemiah is committed to get this done as quickly as he can. The other thing is that they're in a pretty hostile environment. There are threats of attacks that are kind of commonly coming from the people on the outside. So that's a big part of it. But there's another piece to it, that as Nehemiah does what he's doing, things are changing. Things aren't like they used to be. Somehow things are different than they were just a few weeks ago or a few months ago. And as people watch this, they start projecting more change coming down the road. And they're not wrong. There is more change coming. That's kind of what Nehemiah is here for, to try to bring things into health and stability and bring those things back. He's changing the environment that they live in. So what's happening there? Well, there's actually an old Irish proverb that actually gives us some insight into what people are thinking while all this is happening. The proverb is, "Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know." What does that mean? You know what? Things aren't really the way I want them now, but I've learned how to survive in this. And if you make things different, I'm not sure I'm going to like that. And that's something we face anytime we do any work or any task that involves change. Because human beings are amazing creatures, right? Human beings can adapt to kind of just about anything. And so if we're in a place that is actually kind of, you know, not doing as well as we'd like for a long period of time, we go, "Well, it's not what I really wanted, but, you know, this isn't so bad." And the thought of doing something different, no matter how many promises someone makes that it will be better once we get there, is often very hard for us to ingest. Right? Because life is filled with promises that people don't fulfill. So it is reasonable to doubt. There is some wisdom in this proverb of, you know, the devil you know sort of thing. But I think we do have to be honest with ourselves when we experience it or when we encounter it, is that there is a fear aspect. Because what if I don't like the new thing? What if things are different and that's not really what I wanted? You know, are we willing to take that chance to actually step away from what's comfortable, from what's familiar? You may have heard me talk about this before. Right? Step away from what's comfortable and familiar towards something that's different, because it makes us healthier. It helps us to engage with new people, to engage with new things, to find new opportunities. Is that something we're willing to do? And no matter what you set out to do personally, no matter where you set out to make a difference in the world, you will experience that. Now I experience it. And we've got to be prepared for it. But the thing here is that there's a key difference between how we engage with this kind of situation versus the opposition from the outside. Right? The opposition from the outside was largely, don't listen to them. You know, let their words just make you angry if it has to. Just keep you going, sort of thing. When you're dealing with challenges from the inside, the approach is very different. The approach is, be sure to listen. Be sure to understand. Or you may not necessarily agree with everything you hear, but you know what? Somebody might know something you don't know. So be sure you're listening to what they have to say. Maybe someone's misunderstanding what you're trying to do. So we give them a chance to tell you what they're feeling so you can share with them what you're feeling. Right? So when you're dealing with that situation where it's coming from the inside, it's important to engage. Not confrontationally, but connectingly. To make sure we're talking to each other. Make sure we know what's going on with one another. And one of the things that we want to really, really be sure of is that as we're engaging with people, and we identify the situations that are creating challenges for people, address things where you can. Right? Sometimes you can make a minor adjustment in your plan that actually, to you as a small thing, is a big thing to someone else. So be sure we're doing those sort of things as well. But the one thing that I want us to remember is that we do have to remember that no matter what we do, no matter how many words we say, no matter how much we try to get along with each other, if you're trying to do something significant, if you're trying to change things in a meaningful way, you're not going to make everyone happy. That there will be always those people who say, well, wait a minute, we used to do it that way. Right? Or, you know, you're doing all this, but what about that thing over there? Right? You're always going to encounter that. You just kind of have to expect it. But the key thing is that if you are on target for the mission you feel called to, if you are on target to impact lives the way you feel you should, and as you're doing those things, remember that the opposition can come from the outside. You may have challenges from people on the inside. But what's the one thing you've got to be most aware of? The opposition that raises up in your own mind. Because if you are on a long journey, if you've ever taken a long car drive, like really long, like cross country or, you know, from New Hampshire to Florida, those sort of things, as you're driving, no matter how excited you are to get to the destination, do you get tired sometimes? Absolutely, you get tired sometimes. And as you get tired, you will be tempted to put yourself down. You'll be tempted to doubt yourself. You'll start to believe the people who say that you are being selfish or you don't care or this is going to fail. Don't let that in. Don't let that happen. As you step out to live a life that really makes a difference, I want to close with the thing that Nehemiah gives us that I think is the most important thing that I have to say this morning. Now, it's his words, but I'm going to borrow them, right? Because what happens for Nehemiah, as he's dealing with all this opposition, he's got the opposition from the outside, he's dealing with challenges on the people that he's trying to help, he never shares with us his own doubts, but they had to have been there. And then one day, someone who's been harassing him and harassing him and harassing him sends a message to him saying, hey, Nehemiah, I know you're up there working, but we really need you to come down and talk to you because this is really important. And Nehemiah says, what I want you to say to yourself when you start to have those doubts. So as the message comes to Nehemiah, Nehemiah tells us that, so I sent messengers to them. And this is what I said. I'm doing a great work, and I am unable to come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? The thing that I want you to remember, I think I've said this every week I've been here. You were created on purpose with a purpose. There is something that you will do that is unlike anything else someone else will do. You can make an impact in a place, in a space, in a person's life, in a family, in a way that no one else will. And there will be 1,000 things that try to draw you off of that task. And in your own mind, you will have doubts come up convincing you that, oh, maybe this isn't that important, or maybe I can put that off, or maybe I won't succeed anyway, whatever it is. Whenever that comes up, the thing I want you to say to yourself is exactly what Nehemiah says here. I am doing a great work, therefore I am unable to come down. Why should the work stop? Well, I go do that. You are called to something special and something specific. I don't know what it is for each one of you. But I think all of us, if we stop and we think about it, there is that thing that you can have an influence in. There is that place, that organization, again, that family, that person that you can be part of making a difference in. And there will be a thousand things trying to convince you to not actually do it. You can do it. You will do it if you choose to do it and you stay with it. And you trust that God is leading you towards that end. So as you think about kind of where we started as we continue on in the next few weeks, think about that destination. What is that thing that absolutely breaks your heart? And you want to be part of the solution. Seek God's leading, recognizing the journey will be long and there will be potholes. But the journey is absolutely worth it because you can absolutely make a difference.